Okay. I'll call this meeting to order at 9:09 a.m. of the Permanent Community Impact Fund Board. Today is June 6, 2024. First up, we'll start, well, before welcome introductions, I just want to say a thank you to Duchesne County and the Commission, Commissioner Miles, for hosting us here for our meeting and our policy retreat. We had a lot of fun yesterday on our oil and gas tour. We got to see some pretty amazing things. Emissions reductions and mining cryptocurrency with trapped gas, and converting that natural gas to electricity. That was a real treat. And then obviously I still refer to them as Encana, but I know they've been rebranded a couple of times, but it's just been a real treat to get up here and see this and see these beautiful people up here working hard for their communities. And, oil and gas is obviously alive and well. And I think it's really helpful for us as a board to come see, you know, where this revenue is generated and see the impacts firsthand and see some of these facilities and, you know, community assets that we've funded. So thank you. And I'm enjoying being here and through tomorrow. And, this has been great. So, you know, with that, I'll start off introductions. My name is Curtis Wells. I'm the chairman of the Permanent Community Impact Fund Board, and I represent rural Utah. Commissioner Adams.
Yeah, I'm Bruce Adams. I'm the county commissioner in San Juan County. I live in Monticello. I can see UNA County from Monticello. You can see that crazy 5 feet from out in the High Uintas. I represent the southeastern Utah AOGs.
Commissioner Ralph Brown from Sevier County. I represent Sevier County.
Good morning. Nagi Zanade from Sunny and Warm St. George. And I represent Utah Commission. And I come for free lunch and breakfast every time. Because I don't get paid in Utah.
Well, I don't get paid any extra either for this. Greg Miles, Duchesne County Commissioner, and with the highest peak in Duchesne County, Bruce, we are the county above the rest. So, I know you can see us from Monticello, but we are the county above the rest, and we're just excited to have you all here. We're proud of the community that we have, and in all of rural Utah, whenever something bad happens, the community comes together. We're kind of like siblings. You know, you beat the crap out of each other all week, but when someone picks on your little brother, you're there to stand up for him. So I'm grateful to have you all here. And I wanted to give a little token of Duchesne County to take with you. So and if anybody else would like a vial of crude, I've got one for you. That's what mineral lease money comes from, and coal and natural gas, lest we forget. So I'm happy to have you all here and hopefully get to see a little taste of what it takes to extract those minerals. I want to tell you a quick story. Starvation Reservoir, people often ask where the name comes from. So many years ago, before Duchesne County existed, there were some settlers that were right here at the confluence of the Duchesne and Strawberry Rivers. And some Native Americans stole all their food. They were headed into winter. And so those people were either near starving or starved because they couldn't survive the winter. Hence the name Starvation. So Duchesne will always be on the brink of starvation. So, anyway, that's all. Thank you.
With this kind of sin of the smooth, I don't think that. Don't make me feel guilty. I had no.
Taking the food out of the mouth.
There's plenty of food, so please, everyone. The AOG is always so supportive of everything we do, and they've provided this huge buffet of horrible things, so help yourself.
I think I heard yesterday, this is honest, this was set up for the diabetic convention. Yesterday, come on, help yourself. So thank you.
I'm Chris Piper with the Utah Attorney General's Office. I serve as legal counsel to the community.
Thank you. Scott Bartholomew from Sanpete County Commissioner, representing the 6th County ELG, soon to be the R6.
Dean Baker, Naples City Mayor, and I represent Uinta County next door.
Jerry Taylor, Garfield County Commissioner, and I represent Pike County AOG. And I just want to give a shout-out to Greg, Duchesne County, and your AOG. Man, you've set a standard here that it's going to be hard to outdo. That's why we're going to hire you as a consultant so that when we hold it in the Pike County area, we'll be able to keep up with the standard. Thank you.
Laura Hansen, I'm the State Planning Coordinator in the Governor's Office of Planning and Budget, and I sent a photo of this candy buffet to my kids, and they're very jealous.
They're on their way.
Yeah, you guys are great. Thank you.
I'm Jack Lytle. I'm Daggett County Commissioner representing the Uinta Basin Association of Governments, and we come from the smallest county with a lot going on. And we kind of figure we're the bottom of the totem pole, so we hold these guys up. Duchesne and you and yeah, so.
He's trying to make me feel bad for giving him the only black wax. Smile.
Hey, that's just stuff that's good for your hair, man.
I'm long fasting. But no, very grateful for your hospitality here and for everybody coming and all the hard work we do as a board. Thank you. And even though we can't quite see San Juan County from Daggett, he can't see us probably quite as good either unless he gets on top of the mountain.
It's true.
We're kind of in our little world up there. We make darn sure we're a part of everybody else's.
Well, great. Well, thank you, everyone. Do you have a financial briefing you want to go through real quick, Ms. Powers?
Mr. Chairman, the staff, maybe an introduction of the staff.
Oh, yes, please. Staff, please introduce yourselves. We'll start with Heather.
I'm Heather Folsman. I'm the program specialist.
I'm Candace Powers. I'm the fund manager.
Fund manager. Fund.
Think of how I was describing something.
Paul Moberly, I support CID.
We have some other staff here. No? Okay, good. Well, and I should say thank you to staff for, you know, helping us when we get out on the road. We know it's a lot of work and, you know, a lot of coordination and, you know, a lot of things to keep track of. The chairman never responds to the hotel booking emails until the last minute. I know it's just a big ordeal, but. Thank you so much for the work that you do and allowing us to be effective and productive on the road here. So with that, Ms. Powers, would you like to go over the financial review here?
And we should acknowledge that Kurt Slaw had a family emergency.
Oh, did he?
And so he was here last night, and then I guess he got a call, and he departed to go down and be with his family.
Oh, I see that. Well, our thoughts are with Treasurer Slaw.
This is June 6th, in case you didn't look at your calendar. This is the final funding meeting for fiscal year 2024. We had a middle trimester that was really concerning because there were a lot of applications. This board handled it very, very well. So when we come to this funding meeting, the submissions were like half or less than we had previously received. So the board is able to look at these applications that we received, and that's what we'll be talking about today, financial planning. There are three priority projects, and those have been discussed. They were discussed in April. There are three supplemental requests on this agenda. So we'll be approving final funding or discussing final funding for six projects. The available revenue as of the April deposits, we get revenue monthly. And as you know, this is revenue that is generated from resource development. on federal land. The federal land has been more difficult to access visas and more difficult to resource commodity out of late, so our revenue's a little bit down. Not that cheap. The ones in yellow are the, and it's up on the screen, those are the ones we'll be discussing. Those are the three that the board has discussed in April, and then the three supplemental requests. Scroll down. So as you see, there are some indicators on this financial sheet. We have received revenue as of the end of April. May, we've received May, but it is not in this total. With the revenue that we've received and the applications that will be before us today to fund, there is sufficient funding. If the board funds everything back in the, you go to the right, those items in yellow are if you fund it, then that will be the balance. So we haven't funded anything yet, and without the funding, you see the two purple balances in the two funds that we have. As a reminder for this meeting and those listening, the bonus fund is revenue generated from leases on federal land. So it's kind of like rent, the rent payments. And it's only on federal land. The minimum lease amount is from the resource actually getting generated, and a percentage is returned back to CID. The mineral lease balance can go out as a grant, 0% loan, or interest-bearing loan, but what is offered in the bonus fund has to be an interest-bearing loan, and this board knows that.
Quick question. You said that it, the mineral lease comes from federal lands. Is it federal lands or federal minerals on the mineral lease?
Resources developed on federal lands.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Below surface, above surface, federal land. That's right. So,
okay.
Anyway, with that, we have sufficient funding to fund what is before the board today. The board is the decision makers, and I've explained the two funds, so the board is incumbent on that. When we get to those applications to review, there is one that wants to discuss, and that is Woodruff. They would like to present and discuss there. And we'll go to that point and turn the time over to you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Powers. Up next, we'll have the approval of minutes from the April 4th, 2024 CID meeting. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved
by Chairman Zanotti, seconded by Commissioner Lytle. Comments? Seeing none. We don't need a roll call vote for the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Drop my earbuds and drive the computer here for a minute. All right, minutes approved. Up next, item four, prioritization projects. First, we have the Daggett County Municipal Building Authority for $7,233,000. Total request with $5,786,000 coming in grant, $1,447,000 in loan, 30 years at half the point. For Community Health and Social Services Building, it was placed on the priority list February 1st of this year. Would any of the members from Daggett County more than welcome to join us here? But other than that, you know, if the representative from Daggett County, if the board has any questions or anything, some questions, otherwise, you know, I'll entertain a motion.
Question of the children. Randy, there's another chair if you want. I'm okay. They're representing them.
Are they going to intercept us for the record?
Yeah, please do.
So,
yeah.
Matt Tibbetts, I'm from the Daggett County Commission. I'm the current chair of the commission. Bart Jensen with Jones and DeMille and Jesse Flatt with Daggett County.
Hey,
facilities.
How are you doing? Well,
you can do that. And Randy Acey, the Daggett County Commissioner as well. And, of course, you know, Commissioner Lytle.
Absolutely.
Okay. So thank you very much. I was going to ask for that consideration.
I made him mad when he said he couldn't see Sedalia County.
I'm in the hot dog house.
He's steaming over there.
I'm in the dog house. He was looking at his map to see if the elevation is
Chairman Zanotti, please.
So since last time was made on your behalf, anything has changed that we need to know? Any improvements, any change of scope, financials, anything at all? Or
no, initially we asked for an additional amount. We value engineered the project down about 20% to the numbers that you have in front of you, and that's our current ask.
And the second question, is this shovel ready?
If you could define shovel ready, we're close. We have preliminary engineering complete and are ready to move into the final phase of design, anticipating digging in spring of 25.
The reason I'm asking that, though, some of the projects are more urgent, so rather than keeping the money for the next few years, we can have the other projects funded and then come back to you. So that's the reason for asking.
That's a great question. I appreciate that. We're shovel-ready in the sense that we would begin construction early in 25, and I believe complete construction in the fall of 25 is our anticipation.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So that's better than federal government's use of the time shovel, right?
I would hope so. Yeah. I would hope so.
See, I like your answer to that.
Commissioner Adams.
Well, I'll speak a little bit to shovel ready, Nagy, because we're involved in a healthcare facility in San Juan. I don't know if any of you've heard, but Some of the things, the technical things that have to happen with a healthcare facility, you have to design a room for the equipment that you're going to put in that room. And so if you really don't have the money to buy the equipment, sometimes it takes a year to 18 months to get that specific equipment. Then you have to design the room to get the electrical and all the infrastructure parts for the CT scan or the radiation or not radiation but X-ray and those kind of things. You can't really make that design until you know you've got the money. And so it's hard to say, you know, if you said shovel ready, you give us the money today, by next week we'll be digging. You know, there's a lot of engineering and design that goes into these kind of facilities, and I think it'd be a mistake not to fund them today. So that's just my input.
Thank you, Commissioner Manoel.
There's a song about that, Commissioner. You've got the money, honey, we've got the time.
You're going to miss me when I'm gone.
Any further comments?
I can't even think to what to comment after that.
I think now's a good time for a motion.
I make a motion, Mr. Chairman, to accept as presented.
Thank you. Seconded by Commissioner Bartholomew. Any additional?
Yes, Ms. Powers.
We need an exemption.
It was hardship last time, if I remember.
Yeah.
I will have to follow the same.
And if I could, just from a disclosure standpoint, being a commissioner on this commission, as disclosure, I'll abstain from them.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
It was my actual. Okay, Ms. Powers, I'll call for a roll vote, please.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Abstain.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Gennady?
Aye, with the joy.
That motion passes unanimously.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Thank you
all right.
For your hard work on getting here.
Congratulations to the Daggett County Municipal Building Authority. Just real briefly, I'll say, you know, to Commissioner Lytle's comment about in being in his own world, but making himself or Daggett County part of everyone else's. That is absolutely true.
Daggett County has some very hardworking commissioners and professionals, and I've traveled all over with Commissioner Lytle in D.C., you know, working on public land issues, and I just commend you guys for having such a high level of engagement, you know, with the state of Utah and all the policies going around for being such a, you know, small but beautiful county. So thank you. Congratulations on the project. Up next, item 4-2 is the town of Woodruff. And this is a project we'd like to have a presentation, right, Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Yeah. Come on up. Welcome.
Thanks. I'm Bill Cox. I'm one of the commissioners in Ritz County, but I actually live in the town of Woodruff, and they've been struggling trying to do some infrastructure work up there. The roads haven't had any attention for several years. As when we met in April, the board made a recommendation of our funding of $373,000 loan, percentage of $791,392 in grant. With that loan of 10 years, that's a $39,000 a year payment. And they plan on paying out with their BNC road funds, and they only get $17,000 a year. So that's actually twice what they would receive. So that isn't really workable for them because they don't have an awful lot of, it's a pretty small community, and they don't have a lot of tax revenue that comes in to help offset that. So that's really not workable for them. And as grateful as we are that, you know, that was a motion that was made to give them some funding, that's really not going to work. Obviously.
Commissioner Addis.
If I remember, and it's been several years, I don't remember this county coming to the CIB for very much. And it's a small county. The county's underfunded for whatever reason, even though they have Bear Lake in their county, but Bob Stevenson's glad to pay his taxes. But I just think we need to consider what this will do financially to this county, and I'm going to make a motion that we fund this in all grant. 564, is that right? Yes.
64392.
392. Yep. Funded as a grant.
I'll second.
Okay, motion made by Commissioner Adams, seconded by Commissioner Lytle to fund the entire amount as grant. Any other comments, discussion regarding the motion, Ms. Powers?
Exemption. Financial hardship
for the town of Woodruff.
Financial hardship. Commissioner Lytle concurs. Ms. Powers, please, I'll call for a roll call vote.
Please discuss. Question, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I'm just not seeing any. Absolutely. Yeah, that's okay.
Maybe from staff, changing the scope now, the funding, will have the money, Candace, to pay for this? Now we're changing the portion of the grant into loan.
Just one moment.
And I believe, for discussion's sake, supporting the motion in the second, I think this is more consistent with what we did with the small town during that same meeting. And I'm glad you came back to talk to us about it. So thank you.
So this, the loan portion was taken out of the bonus fund, which we will put back in the bonus fund and take it out of the mineral lease fund. So the amount would be 373. We can fund it. It will really seriously reduce the mineral lease balance. But it's doable. It won't put you in the bank.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Okay. Any further discussion or comments?
Motion to Ms. Hansen.
Sorry. Just one comment. I see a trend in lots of smaller communities where the way to pay back a road improvement is with BNC funds, but then we use those same funds to maintain, and it's just this cycle that is just not sustainable. And so I like giving you a little bit of flexibility so that we're not in that, you know, well, we're paying it back. Well, then we're going to maintain it with the same funds that we've already committed to this. And so I can appreciate and understand that challenge.
Okay. Any other comments, discussion? Okay.
You'll change the paradigm where you maybe can get ahead of it too.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It'd be nice. Okay, Ms. Powers.
Ms. Hansen.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
That motion passes unanimous with the chairman abstaining.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you come through Daggett County on
the moon? I did not. I heard there was road construction.
Yeah, right. I see what you're like.
He's going back by San Juan.
Yeah.
He's taking the road.
I'm taking
the rodeo. There you go. Does the San Juan rodeo come up?
Tonight.
Who's playing music?
They don't. They ride horses.
Oh, well, I thought you had a big question. Give me that kind of meeting. We're here for 2 days. We got all day tomorrow.
We got three Rock Brothers and Brittany Posey Tenazios running barrels.
I don't know how you do it, but that's one.
World champ. She's a world champ.
Tenazios, she's out of Western Colorado.
She's out of Texas.
Who's it? Finazzi out of Western Colorado.
He is for Texas.
Okay. All right. All right. Sorry, guys.
I just want to hear about RPRC and rodeo in Daggett County.
First show to be here versus being at the first night of the rodeo.
That's a big deal.
He's committed.
He's committed.
That's a big deal. Okay, up next, item 4.3, Town of Circleville for road improvements. Request is for $2.6 million in grant. I'll invite any members from the town of Circleville or the project to come up. Otherwise, I'll open it up to a motion or questions or discussion.
Motion to approve, Mr. Chairman.
Motion.
Second.
Motion to approve as requested by Chairman Zanotti, seconded by Commissioner Brown. Any discussion, comments on the motion?
Clarification, this is to fund. Right.
Yes, sir.
It's
yes.
The same as what we approved.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, seeing none, Ms. Powers, I'll call for a roll call vote, please.
Ms. Hansen.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miley.
Aye.
Mr. Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Adams.
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimous with Chairman abstaining.
Thank you, Ms. Powers, and congratulations to the town of Circleville.
They were online.
Yes.
Okay. Great.
I don't have to go online. I can see.
Would the board like to just move into supplemental or take a quick break, or how are we doing? We're moving along. Okay, up next, item 7, supplemental requests. Item 1 is 7-1, 7 County Infrastructure Coalition. Welcome. Please join us here at the table and introduce yourselves to the board. And I'll turn the time over to you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You bet.
Good to be with you. My name is Keith Heaton. I'm the director of the 7 County Infrastructure Coalition. Pleased to have Ms. Green. Brian Barton, Jones and DeMille Engineering. Appreciate Jones and DeMille Engineering and all they do. You can see there's more than a few of them here. So yeah. They do a lot for rural Utah. Makes a difference. Before I get into it, I just would be remiss if I didn't thank Duchesne County for their hospitality. Thank you, Commissioner Miles, for the invitation. Some of you noticed that I joined you last night. It's not that old habits die hard, but
It's my love for Duchesne County and the people. If you haven't spent much time here before, you can see why I love it. They say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, and every time I come here, they exceed my expectations, and my heart grows. Also appreciate each and every one of you. The relationship that Seven County Infrastructure Coalition has with the CIB board is special in a number of different ways. Having been on both sides of the fence, I've always seen the coalition as somewhat of a subsidiary of CIP. And I believe that we do things at the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition that other entities within the state find very difficult to do. The types of projects that we do, the relationships that we have, the way that these projects have to evolve, makes it challenging for the state agencies, funding boards, municipalities, counties, to accomplish the same types of things. Am I too soft-spoken?
You're a little soft-spoken, Keith. Sorry.
I've been accused of worse. Thank you. You just want to make sure you get this under record. I was trying to make me nervous because I always make fun of him.
This giant microphone in
front of you. No, I don't know.
They have to hold it closer.
Oh, yeah. So now we're getting a green light. You want to start over?
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Now you're all deaf. All right. I'll carry on. I'll sit back now. So this relationship has been ongoing for nearly 10 years. And in that time frame, we've done some impressive things, but we're only just beginning. And that's why we're here today. Our current contract is expired, or actually expired at the end of May. And so we need to renew our arrangement. Candace told me to be brief and succinct because she knows my disposition to rattle on a little bit. So we're seeking an additional 2 years of funding at $750,000 a year. We've been very frugal with the money that we have. Our burn rate is slightly below that, but these things ebb and flow. I could go into all the projects that we have going on. They go from the top of the state down to the bottom of the state, and they're all important, and they're all worthwhile. Our biggest project, and the one I think that will have most interest to most people, especially this board, is the Uinta Basin Railway. The reason being is one of the reasons that the coalition was formed was that we could bring income back into the state in multiple ways, including funding the coalition, and that is what the railroad will provide, in addition to huge economic benefits to the state. Those who were on the tour yesterday heard Commissioner Miles talk about some things and saw a little bit about what one of the producers is doing. With the railroad, we will blow that level of production out of the water. And it will bring significant economic opportunity far beyond just the extraction of oil. I think each of you would be amazed to find out how many international entities and individuals are interested in what the railroad will open up here in the Uinta Basin. So we work closely with a private partner on this project. Just this week, they submitted some agreements that will ensure massive economic benefit to the state of Utah. In many ways, beyond what many of us can dream. But there have been some speed bumps along the way, which is to be expected. We had all of our permits in place with the federal government. The primary permit was with the Surface Transportation Board. That permit was challenged and went before the Washington, D.C. Circuit Court, where the judges there have obviously political motivations and withdrew that permit. We have appealed that Circuit Court decision to the Supreme Court of the United States. All of the paperwork was finalized a couple weeks ago, and we expect the Supreme Court to make a decision on taking our case within the next 2 to 3 weeks before they go into summer recess. All indicators are that things look very positive. The Supreme Court takes on very few cases. They get thousands, they take on very few. According to our attorney, I think at this point they only have like 5 cases on the docket, which is very small. Normally they have 5, 6 times that amount. So there's room on it. This case is not so much about the Uinta Basin Railroad as it is the extent and reach of the National Environmental Protection Act, or NEPA. There's a circuit court split throughout the country. The majority of the courts view NEPA one way, in that it is confined to the jurisdiction of the granting agency and the geographical boundary of the projects. And then there's several circuit courts, including Washington, that have ruled that NEPA should look at all foreseeable environmental impacts without beginning or end, which means you could be looking at, in our case, they pointed to refineries throughout the United States that we should be looking at. So we would be looking at environmental impacts in Louisiana, New York, because once we put this on the rail, we don't know. So definitely a circuit court split, and without any clear definitions from the Supreme Court, these circuit courts are allowed to approve or deny any project they want. That needs to stop, or this country is at a point where we cannot do major infrastructure projects. So our intent with the Supreme Court is let's put some parameters on NEPA. What does that mean? And so that's no longer up to the individual circuit courts. You may ask why a Utah project is in the D.C. Circuit Court. A lot of big projects end up there because they need federal permits, and the federal agencies are in Washington, D.C. So this was a Surface Transportation Board permit. Used to be it's in Washington. So Washington basically is killing any major infrastructure projects in this country. And again, our case before the Supreme Court hopefully puts a stop to that, or at least puts up guardrails and parameters so we know, so that everyone knows what they can do when it comes to doing infrastructure projects. What effect any Supreme Court decision would have on our project remains to be seen, but it would certainly clarify things. Most likely it would just move the project back to Surface Transportation Board, where we'd work with them. Hopefully what we've done in the past would be sufficient and we could immediately move on, but there's no guarantees of that. Because of that reason, we have other options. We're very grateful to our national elected officials, our delegation. Congressman Curtis has submitted language into the next Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development, or THUD, appropriations bill. We've met with all of the major committees, both sides of the aisle in Washington, to let them know that this is happening without any major objections. Of course, there's always some horse trading that goes on. There's an election this year. We don't know. But that language that Representative Curtis has put forward approves the project and moves it as a matter of law. So our intention is that regardless of what the Supreme Court does and what happens with NEPA, our project, if it's approved congressionally, which at some point in time we expect it will be, moves that project forward. Regardless of either of those outcomes, there's always the option of continuing to work with the federal permitting agencies, including the Surface Transportation Board, and look at all of the environmental impacts and do that type of work. That's obviously a last option because, again, there's no parameters on what that looks like. And that's not a comfortable position for any of us to be in. So one way or the other, we have every intention of completing the railroad project. We would have made impressive progress on both the judicial and legislative fronts, as we've reported in the past, and we're optimistic that those will be successful. And once they are, as you all know, we will be repaying the initial grant for the railroad, which is nearly $28 million. And again, the economic benefit that this will bring to the state and the return that will bring to this fund and other entities in the state is beyond measure, in all honesty. And so that is where we're at. That is our request. Again, we appreciate the partnership and the opportunity to do the types of things that others aren't aren't willing to do. And appreciate your faith and confidence and your foresight in supporting an organization like this that can do some very impressive things that are game changers for the state of Utah and for the communities. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Thank you. Ms. Hansen.
Hi, Keith. It's good to see you. I understand the significance and importance of this project to all of these communities, and so don't take my comments here as undermining or saying something about the importance of and value of this project. I totally get it. It's just a lot of money that CIB has invested in this project so far, and when I think of water and sewer and roads and fire, there's a lot of communities that have desperate needs for current public safety and for public services that are needed right now. I know that a lot of this funding will be paid back eventually to CIB, and that it can generate more money for the program overall. I understand all of that. It just gives me a little bit of pause because about $30 million invested in this when we have communities that, just need $300,000 to take care of a road. That gives me a little bit of pause. And so one question I have is, have you approached the 7 counties that are part of this partnership and said, okay, CIB has gotten us this far. We've had some delays that are beyond our control. We're working through them. We're doing everything we can, but is it now time for those 7 counties to step up and say, okay, we'll take care of the operations for the next couple of years, then we'll prepay, we'll keep the project moving, and then, I feel more comfortable coming back after you've had that conversation. Maybe you have, but.
I appreciate the question and the comment. I don't know if this is the right way to phrase that, but I am well aware of the demands in rural Utah. Having spent 30 years dealing with those things, and not a day goes by that we're not cognizant of that. And again, our relationship is unique. It is an investment. It is forward looking. The idea is that as we're successful with these projects, that communities become less dependent on CIB and those types of funding sources. And so it is, maybe again, not the right word, but a bit of a gamble, calculated risk that, we invest in this, rather than trying to put band-aids on things because there aren't strong economies in these local communities. And so, that's a big part of what we do day in and day out. As far as the counties contributing, by and large, they have, all of them have committed time and resources. About half of them have committed significant funding for them. again, CIB and the coalition is on a scale that is a little bit different. Brian can go into specifics on the amount of money that we have, but for the $30 million that CIB has invested, we're well over double that amount in other funding sources, not just for the rail, but for other projects. On the rail specifically, private money that has come into that exceeds the amount of money that CIB has put into it to date. And at the end of the day, this will probably be a kind of choke on the amount, but a $3 billion project. And that's money that's going to be coming into Utah from out of state, from national and international and investors. And those deals, by and large, have been inked. They're done. They're just waiting for us to get our permit reinstated. And they've been very supportive of that, especially at the congressional level, hiring high-powered lobbyists, meeting with officials, things that are challenging for us as a small state here in the West, a flyover state to do. There's a lot of things happening behind the scenes, again, that the coalition is doing that, again, most of your state entities wouldn't be able to do. And we're very grateful for those partnerships. I'm grateful for those who have worked for the better part of 10 years establishing those relationships and making sure that this thing happens. This project is going to happen, and it is just a matter of time. And appreciate your patience and your trust in us, understanding that, you know, that is a lot of money that's being taken off the table for road projects, sewer projects. You know, yesterday we looked at the library. Amazing project. But my belief is that by investing in this, we'll be able to do more of those projects moving forward, not only as a CIB because revenue's coming back in, but because we're going to have stronger communities again from the top of the state to the bottom of the state.
Can you speak to the incubation part of what CIB does, and or Seven County does, in terms of the different projects that we've heard, whether we carry them through or not, whether it's the Energy Center, the library and the different projects.
That'd be great about that.
Do create value.
Yeah.
Whether or not we end up owning it or not, as Seven County, and then for disclosure, I say on the Seven County's board.
I think you've done a good job of teeing that up. Just add to that, case in point for those that were on the tour yesterday, Commissioner Miles mentioned the amount of trucks that are going over Indian Canyon. One of the things CIB funded was a study that the coalition did, where we looked at the ability to take Uinta wax and put it on a train and ship it somewhere besides Salt Lake City. Historically, 99% of the wax has just gone to the Utah refineries. And because of that, the refineries paid less than market value, sometimes 10%, sometimes up to 20% less than market value, because it was a captive market. Our study showed that there was an interest in Utah wax on our crew, which you have in front of you. You can tell, except for Jack, that that does not look like, Texas tea. No one believed that there was a market for it. And our study demonstrated that there was, and immediately the private sector jumped on that and started putting that out contracts and started putting this on the train, shipping it primarily to the Gulf Coast. The beauty of this is that, I make fun, but, that is a great lip balm. That's a great hair dye. Petrochemicals are in everything. And as you heard yesterday on the tour, our wax is a superior product. Not only does it burn far cleaner because there's less metals, there's less sulfide, it's also a lubricant, and it's a cosmetic, and it's the type of petroleum that they need in all of these other materials, plastics, et cetera, et cetera. And so there's a huge demand, but no one believed it until CIB funded the study that Seven County conducted. And because of that, we have doubled the amount of production. If you look at year end, between the time that the study was done in 2018 and the end of last year, it's double. And when we are successful with the railroad and the accompanying things that are going along with that, we're talking about things like refining oil in the basin. We're talking about bringing in different producers, opening up new wells. It will double where we're coming, if not more. And so those types of opportunities are what we're banking on. And the coalition is totally committed to seeing those through. But it takes significant funding. And big projects like this take significant patience. And it's not easy. I've sat in your chair. I know that when you've got a county commissioner or a mayor that says, you know what, we've got less than 1,000 people, we've got no income source, help us out. This board has always helped out. And again, the concept and the vision with the coalition is that you're allowing us to help you, right? So show me the money. And so appreciate the question. Jack also pointed out the research center. Again, we've done things from San Juan to Daggett on planning. thanks to the CIB money, that bears economic fruit, which allows these communities to be more independent than they historically have been. And that's really critical because you all know, as much as it pains us, CIB may not be around forever. The world is changing. Government is changing. And so I appreciate that you're thinking about ways to perpetuate what we do beyond mineral lease revenues off of federal lands. I won't say anything more about the federal government, but thanks for the question.
Thank you. Commissioner Taylor.
Pete, I appreciate you being here today, and I know what this project means, not only to Southern County, but for the state of Utah. Since we've started this whole project and everything, are we moving the ball forward? Are we accomplishing the things that we initially set out to do? Maybe you can talk a little bit about that, but also what would happen if we don't fund this today?
Two good questions, Commissioner. Thank you. I'll liken it to a sporting event. We'll use football. We all love football. It's America. You know, you've got four downs to move the ball 10 yards or you give up the ball. And the way it works is oftentimes, you know, two of those downs, you might gain a yard or two, maybe three, if you run a good program. And then you'll get a big play. And a lot of the work that we're doing, especially with Railroad, is like that. We're moving the needle, but it's been a yard or two or three. But we're on the cusp of that big play. And we've set everything up so we can break through that defense and get that big play. I hope you're picking up what I'm putting down. So, yes, we've moved the needle. Yes, we've made progress. But we are on the cusp of a big play that blows the game wide open.
Commissioner Taylor's a basketball guy. I don't think
he's
yeah. They didn't have a football at my high school.
I can talk to you to be basketball team.
Translate.
We can use baseball terms too. We're putting men on base. And we got our big hitter coming up.
Who's on first?
Who's on second?
Who's on second? Who knows on second?
The other part of that question is a difficult one. We do have other funding projects. We do have other funding sources. They're small potatoes. In all honesty, that's just the way I deal. We might be able to milk it along another year, 9 to 12 months. At that point, we run out of money, and if there's not significant movement, which we believe there would be, we risk losing the private side on the railroad. And without the railroad, not only does CIB forfeit, you know, their $28 million payback, but it makes it very difficult for the coalition to continue to move forward because we won't be self-funded. So we will have to continue to rely on entities such as the CIB, the state legislature, and other state agencies for funding. And it's, picking up pennies. And as I look at it, we'd be stepping over the C notes to pick up those pennies. So we're just at a critical juncture where we need to show good faith that the state of Utah is committed to these types of projects, to the railroad in particular. And again, this last week, the private side stepped up and said, we're committed, which was huge for us. That's big money compared to what we're talking about here.
So with your football analogy and everything and this lawsuit going on, do we have the A-team out on the field? I mean, do we have the best of the best? If we're going to go up against the Supreme Court, whatnot, are you confident in those guys that they can bring this thing home? I would hope so.
I appreciate that. Sometimes you don't know what you don't know. What I do know is that we have put our best foot forward. Laura made a point. This is very expensive stuff. I think our law firm in Washington, Venable, and the attorney that we have there, Jay Johnson, I can't imagine having done a better job. know, our board looks at these things hard. Again, we take very seriously our fiduciary responsibility as a public entity using public dollars to make sure that we're frugal with what we do. Taking on the other hand that, you know, if you're going to go to the Supreme Court, if you're going to go into the halls of Congress, you gotta have the hitters. You gotta have the big players. I 100% believe that we do, Jerry. Again, I'm not an expert on the Supreme Court.
My opinion, we don't have a choice. We have to win.
That's right.
Not only for the seven county coalition, CIV board, but for the state of Utah.
Amen. Amen. No, I've been very impressed with what we're doing. Our private partner, there's been questions over the years, but time and again, they've risen to the top. And the people they're working with, they're no players. They're hitters. We're in it to win it, and we know we're in the big league in some of these areas, and we've got great people doing the right things.
Commissioner Bartholomew, to follow up with that case, if the Supreme Court does not hear you, is this done?
No. Again, for this project, the big play is with the Congress, with the legislature. That says this project moves forward as is. Reinstate the permits, move it forward. That's the big move. And we've got that language. We made a run at it this last fall. It was a last minute run. And we weren't successful. We learned some valuable lessons. We knew it was a long shot, trying to cram it in at the last minute. We got hung up on some procedural things. So this year, we're right from the very beginning. We've met with all of the committees up on the Hill, all of big players. That's where this project gets approved. If that gets bogged down in politics, which we know it's going to get bogged down to some degree in politics, again, being an election year, but at some point they've got to pass the Transportation, Housing, Urban Development Appropriations Bill. And our project's in that bill. There's a precedent for that, as I've mentioned to you before. So every indication is that's going to be the big play that gets this project done, that brings the money back to the board. If that doesn't work and you fund us here today and our private partners stick in, and I believe they will because they are heavily vested, there are agreements. We can always just go through and play the environmental game in the lower courts. And you know, that just takes a lot more time and a lot more money. And so that's where we're at.
Commissioner Adams, and then I know Mayor Baker's got a question or comment.
When you have something like what happened to the railroad project, And in my opinion, kind of a frivolous decision made in Washington, D.C., not in Utah, it just automatically appends that people back east, no matter what their political persuasion is, it just doesn't feel right that they get to weigh in and they get to convince the court of something that's happening in my state, in my backyard. I think, many people have said on many occasions, the best form of government is that it's closest to the people. Well, I'll tell you, Washington, D.C. is a heck of a ride from the state of Utah. And, you know, you look at kind of what the founding fathers did. They let the people govern the land all the way to the Mississippi River, and then all of a sudden they changed. And they said, oh, everything west of the Mississippi, you know, we're going to hang on to a big portion of it and make it public land. And now everybody that side of the river wants to tell everybody this side of the river what to do with the public land. I don't know. I don't know, Laura, if we don't fund them when we start over, are we so far behind the eight ball that we can't make any progress? I don't know. It just seems like, these guys are locked in and fight and doing what they can for a big public land state. And we know that, you know, that the oil and gas is here in the basin, and we need to capitalize upon that. You know, I don't have a lot of oil and gas in my county, but I have cows who create a little methane gas, and that's offensive to somebody back east as well. This is just offensive, what's happened here in the court. That's my editorial.
Yeah. Thank you for that. That's kind of a nice segue for some comments that, you know, I wanted to make, and, you know, along those lines is, you know, when the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition was founded, you know, the dream and the goal is to have, you know, this, the need is real. And I come from natural resource development. I'm a fourth generation prospector. We don't deal in oil and gas, but rails, pipeline, roads, infrastructure, you know, those are the key things in development. And, you know, counties, small companies, you know, even a lot of large companies, you know, they can't afford to build these projects and open up these trapped resources and the planning stuff. And so to have a coalition of counties that rely on those resources, their livelihoods, especially in the context of, you know, this idea, I think there's a lot of narratives that, you know, you pop up here on top of the booklets in the basin, there's oil drilling and everybody's oil rich, right? You see trucks everywhere. But I mean, actually they're in, you know, no different situation than any other rural county is. They're not even treading water, you know, with the demands that they have. We don't have taxation policies that allow us to really, you know, adequately collect these revenues, whether it's, you know, tourism or oil and gas. And so that's the concept. And so at this point in time, you know, how far the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition has made it, the different projects, the member counties, you know, it's been 10 years. At the point in time where they have a private partner and we have a project that is a game changer, you know, for rural Utah, for Utah, for this community, this isn't the time to pull the plug. It's actually unacceptable to pull the plug. I don't think that's really what we're talking about, you know. I don't see that as a viable option because the CIB, you know, has made this commitment a long time ago. And I do see the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition. I don't know if I would describe it as a subsidiary, but, you know, we're a funding partner and we're a partner and this is an investment, you know, that we've made. And so if you look at it through those eyes, you know, or in that context, this is an investment that we've made and we're making progress. And this is the world we live in. You know, when you talk about the United States keeping up with China and everything, we've allowed our policies at the federal level with, you know, FLIPMA and NEPA. It's just obstructionist. It's not, you know, these people aren't compromising the environment, you know, or, you know, compromising the land for the public that also is laying claim to the public land. I mean, these people have roots. They're taking care of the area. We need to give them. If we really want to see improvement in rural Utah, this is the kind of stuff we have to be doing because no one else is going to do it. The private sector is going to go where it's easy and there's not risk. And there's a lot of risk involved in all these things. You know, I mean, so I don't need to hold up the waxy crude bottle, but, so, I mean, with all due respect, I think it's, you know, I think it's, information about the project is great, you know, the benefits they can have. I would love to hear some more information about the benefits of this project and just how much of a game changer it is for that region, because I don't think the public and I don't think a lot of people are aware of just the significant impact of adding new pipelines or adding new rail, you know, to this market, you know. We need the CIB to grow. We can't afford it. What's rural Utah going to do? I mean, if we're sitting up here and saying CIB is not going to last forever, what are we going to do when the CIB is not? What are all these communities going to do? So, I mean, you know, status quo is not great. It's really not. And, you know, this is the opportunity we have to kind of, you know, for a game changer. In terms of, you know, our relationship, can we work closer together? You know, are there things we can do, you know, to enhance our partnership, you know, with the board and the CIB? You know, those are things I'm interested in discussing and talking about. But in terms of the project,
Yeah, I mean, I hope you guys get it done. But if you're in natural resource development in the Western United States, you're dealing with high-level, politically appointed and motivated obstructionists. And this is just the bottom line. It's not surprising that you run into the snag. Frankly, you kind of expect these things when you're in this business. And so we've got to get the job done. You know, I really appreciate you guys, you know, speaking to being efficient and economical. And I know the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition has had a lot of discussions about, you know, anytime we're making this type of investment, you know, running as lean as possible. And I believe you guys have, you know, are doing the best you can to see that the public's seeing the highest return, you know, for that dollar. So I want to get it done and I want to get these things built.
Sure.
Oh, Jeff, I appreciate your comments. And I appreciate everybody's comments. And I really do. I'm with thinking funded. I don't know if you're ready for a motion or no, he's got his hands up.
I'm
ready to make the motion that we fund him. I don't know how we're going to do that. We asked Candace, but I think we need to carry on and keep this funding going. Because if we don't, we've dropped the ball as we talked about the football is the allergy. Right there at the goal line, and we drop the ball, and we just sit and don't do anything. We've got to continue to move forward. I appreciate your comment.
I'd
like the motion. Yeah.
I wanted a second motion with a comment. Go ahead and sit down.
I'll go really fast. I just want to clarify. I'm not suggesting we pull the plug on this. I'm not suggesting that this isn't a good project. I understand all of that.
I wasn't, just to be clear, yeah. I wasn't addressing
no. No. Yeah, sure. I just want to.
Discernment discussion. Thank you for bringing it up.
I just want to clarify. I understand the importance and value of this project to Utah, to rural Utah. I get all of that. I do want to say I don't think it's our role here I don't think this body's role is engaging in federal politics. I think our body's role and responsibility is in taking the funds that are given to us and allocating them in the way that is most appropriate to support the communities in Utah. I just want to clarify, like, I feel like the way that I'm thinking about this is my fiduciary responsibility to CIB, which is helping the communities in Utah. And so I take a little bit of objection to, not that I agree or disagree with any of it, about, you know, this is all about kind of sending a message to the federal government. I don't think that's our job as a board. I think our job is to take the money that we've been received or given and that is ours, our benefit, something that we're guaranteed, and do the best we can for the state of Utah and the communities that we serve.
Yeah.
And so that's the lens through which I'm thinking about this. I understand that there's this landscape that, you know, underlies all of Utah and that certain communities feel that weight a lot more heavily than others. I totally appreciate that. But I feel like it's our job as this board to maybe set that aside and think about what are our responsibilities as outlined in statute for this part. And that is narrowly how can we do the most good for the communities in Utah with the funds that we have available to us.
I appreciate that. I would just say, briefly, with all due respect, where the federal government dictates policy to us almost entirely when it comes to energy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, rule with policy that changes, that's subject to different interpretations from field office to courts. You know, I feel like we have to I don't feel like sending a message from the federal government. If anybody in the federal government's ever read what I've written, they know loud and clear where I stand. But we have to do this ourselves as the people in the communities because it's on us, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Could you use sports and analogy? I'm going to use history. I just finished reading The Revolutionary War, the most fascinating book about George Washington. He's fighting to save this nation. But every step that he's trying to fight, there are people undermining his effort, dismissing his belief in the Almighty and the state and the country. Even his friends, family members, commanders, telling him, no way, there's no hope. There's no way we can win this war. But he does. And he goes every night to the bed with the idea that I love this country. I'm going to do my best, even though I lose my life to save this country. And he has also opportunities to give the Thomas Jefferson to go to negotiate with the England, the French, the Germans, the Indian nations. We have that in our midst. We have a fighter. We have given our support and our promise that you go do this fight and we will support you. We cannot fight the federal government and we don't have intention to do that. But seven of the most affected communities of the state of Utah, which are producing counties, are affected by this notion. And if we cannot get the railroad, the most delicious, the most purest coal of the world is in the state of Utah. It's going to be suffocated. And the rail is not just for oil, it's not for gas, it's not for coal, it is for potash, it is for alfalfa. This community yesterday, Commissioner Morris told us that agriculture is the number one, the backbone of this community. And we have several communities just like that. And if the federal government is coming to after us, by George, I'm ready to fight them back. I don't care what it's going to take. So I'm ready to say, you want $3 million, I'll give you $6 million.
Hold on now.
The fact is that we need to win this war. Even though there are no beliefs and no trust in this community, this committee, but I believe in it. He had promised us, and his committee with the seven counties promised us that otherwise, look at these people, they're all still in this committee. They're all the directors of those seven counties.
It's more than seven counties.
I know, but it's
the whole state.
The whole state of Utah.
Everybody, every little community, the Cannonvilles, the Henryvilles.
And I promise
the Woodruffs.
It's not just state of Utah. It is Arizona, it's Nevada, it's Colorado, it's Montana, Idaho. They're waiting for us to win this case so they can have their case to be heard by the Supreme Court.
That's why we need the A-team, right?
We need to have that. So please, let us give the opportunity. We cannot give up at this stage. We cannot do that.
No, you don't say 6 million. Ten is almost past up.
Yeah.
I always wanted to be the $6 million man.
Yeah, Commissioner Lyle wants to speak, but I think, you know, again, the goal is to get turnkey projects, enable projects, create projects, and to get the private sector involved. And the private sector is very involved in this project. They're very locked in. The CIB made a commitment to, you know, for this project before I was chairman. And so I think, you know, really, in my opinion, let's get the deal close. Let's get the deal close. Let's get it done. Let's get the deal close. That's where I'm at.
And respectfully to your point, that doesn't mean there's another side to it. I say very respectfully. I think with what was said relative to the politics have been brought to us in this. And in the sense that whether it's Eagle County, Colorado, or others, whether they see the view that we see or the values, this, if we want to refocus it to your point, this is what keeps this project moving forward in spite of any politics. I concur with the politics that have been spoken of in terms of the weaponization of NEPA. But to each point that's been made, we still have a project in front of us that has a way to finish, and this is one of the steps that is required to finish it. And I would defer to Ralph because I know he had his hand up rather than keep talking.
And because Rochelle ganged up on for a minute, she's going to get to eat the rest of the avocado toast and go through all the dandelion and chicken wash first.
Thank you very much.
And that was to defer any ganging up.
You guys are great. I appreciate the time.
Yeah.
And thanks for hearing me as well. Yeah. I know I'm kind of the troublemaker, but I just like to have the conversation with them.
Not nearly as bad as Kurt.
Somebody had to take over since Kurt's not here.
So, if do we have any more? Yeah,
no, yeah, I can say if you're ready, let's
go. I'm ready.
I don't know. We're both on the motion. He talked about the benefit of this wax and the
girls' hair, too.
Beautiful thing to do. I've been shortchanged. Of everybody is so.
It's half full, I have that.
There's stuff on the grid.
No. Mr. Chair, I would like to reserve an opportunity for comment after.
Okay, you bet. Okay, Ms. Powers, I'll call for a roll call vote.
The motion was made by.
Oh, I didn't call on Senator Winterton. I got a note here that he had his hand raised.
Yeah.
Someone draw for me. Is he still?
He still has his hand raised. Yeah. You want him to speak?
Yes. Why not?
Sure. I have to move the mic.
We can vote. Let him speak. I guess whatever.
Am I unmuted?
Yes.
Senator.
I appreciate the opportunity to comment and the support of both the CIB and the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition Board. I was just on the radio talking about this project, and whether you guys know it or not, we have, for the basin, reached the point of no return as far as the boom and bust of the oil industry, as we've known in the past. We're now shipping oil, more oil, out of state to other refineries than we are to the Salt Lake refineries. And that is because of the waxy crude that we have. And I shouldn't call it crude, but other refineries have found out that this is a very profitable market for them to be in, to mix and blend it with their light crude. And because of the wax, they're able to do so much more. The luxuries that we have come to expect in the U.S. and the world requires this wax, whether it's our cell phones, our medicines, you name it. The list goes on. And so your support in seeing this through the end, the only thing that's going to hinder us now in seeing this production continue to climb is the 191 corridor, which is right now has more trucks on it than we're sending down Heber Main Street on Highway 40. And so for the safety of the public in that, we need to see this rail project finished up. And kudos to the board members on the coalition for their efforts and taking all the arrows and darts that have been thrown at them. I'm 100% behind this project. I think that once we can get the rail in there, you'll see production triple in what they're doing right now, because there's going to come to the point where the capacity on high or 191 is going to be, we may as well hook the trucks all together and have a train on the highway. So thank you again for your efforts.
Thank you, Senator, for those comments. Okay, Ms. Powers, I'll call for a roll call vote, please, and then we'll have a comments from Commissioner Moss.
This was to fund the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition supplemental funding, $1.5 million. Motion made by Dean Baker and second by Nagy.
No.
Mr. Taylor. Okay. Ms. Hansen.
Yes. Although, do we need an exception?
Yeah.
Is the motion maker want to add an exception?
This is supplemental.
No. No. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
They are the exception.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
I'll abstain as a member of the Seven County Infrastructure.
Yeah, you can that. No, you don't have to.
Yeah. Mayor Baker?
There's a recommendation that I'll follow, but as I say that I abstain, I do it under advice of the council, whether I concur or not.
Good enough for me.
What's that in a minute? Ta-da. Mayor Baker?
Wholeheartedly, yes.
Commissioner Miles?
The same as Commissioner Lytle, I've been advised to recuse, that's what I will. As,
Mr. Taylor?
As I serve on Seven County Infrastructure Coalition Board.
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Adams?
A very big yes.
That motion carries with Jack Lytle and Greg Miles abstaining and the chairman abstaining.
Thank you. Congratulations. Commissioner Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did not want to put my finger off the scale, and so I appreciate the opportunity to say a couple of things post-vote. And I appreciate the comments, all the comments that have been made. I do take exception a little bit to a comment that was made by Ms. Hanson. We've already paid our share in. More than 80% of the mineral lease money that's generated in this state comes from these seven counties. Today we funded two awesome projects. Three. $564,000 to the town of Woodruff. Rich County paid in about $20,000. Paiute County, town of Woodruff, or town of Circleville, $2.6 million. Paiute County paid in $34,000. Yolanda County paid in over $200 million. But on top of that, as has been mentioned, Duchesne and Yolanda County have paid in hundreds of thousands of dollars to the Yolanda Basin Railroad Project, outside of what CIB had committed. We have paid our fair share. I think that on top of what we're doing with the rail project, we're so much more. The intellectual data that the Seven County Infrastructure Coalition has acquired has been a benefit to the entire state. We've seen wonderful projects like the water projects for San Juan County, for the Navajo Nation, that have been seed money to help get state money allocated to help them. The research center. We've seen health and air quality plans come together because of right-of-ways that the Seven County has acquired. So many other things that I could talk about, but the last thing is, you know, in military or aircraft, they know that they're over the target when they start taking fire. We've been circling the target for a while. We're under fire. The fight has come to our front. And so whether we feel it's our fight or not, horrible policies or horrible
decisions
like Egypt have been made. And they've given unfair advantage to special interest groups to stop large infrastructure projects. As Commissioner Taylor said, this is a fight for the state. And if we don't win here, they'll be back. And for what it means to be able to move any infrastructure project forward in this state, we have to have a win. And I appreciate so much the support of the CIB board. We're so proud of Keith and all of our partners that support us, you know, Jones and Amell and other firms that help us out. We work a lot, and a lot of it goes unnoticed. Keith works day in and day out to make sure that we're getting things continually moved. So thank you for the support, and that's the end of my comments.
Thank you, Commissioner. Okay, with that, why don't we take a brief 10-15 minute bathroom break? Everyone needs to stay seated while Ms. Hanson makes her way through the line.
Yes.
No one needs to say princess.
Diva.
Oh,
haven't signed in to be special.
Okay, show. Okay. Are we recording?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, we'll call this meeting back to order at 11:01 a.m. I've got a note here. This is regarding the policy that I have. Okay. So up next, we'll invite the Emory County Local Building Authority up, and they're here. And the request is for the Huntington Senior Center, $350,000 in grant. The original funding approved October 5th of last year for $1.5 million in grant previously. So with that, I'll open it up to the applicants, you know, any additional comments or presentation needed before the board does their work. Please introduce yourselves.
I'm Commissioner Lynn Sitter, Emory County. I've been I just, you want to read it?
Yeah, Brian Martin with Jones and DeMille.
Daniel Hawley with Jones and DeMille.
Last time I was before you, I really, really appreciate what you did for Emory County and for our senior citizens there. I explained to you that the senior center that we have is outdated. It has no parking. It's really in need of something better for our senior citizens. And I'm grateful for the support that we seen here last time. When we went to start the project, it became evident that there was some things that we had not seen when we came and asked you last time. And as bad as I hated to have to come back and ask for more in order to build the type of building that will be what the senior citizens of Emory County will need into the future, we could see that we were going to need to make the kitchen better for the Meals on Wheels, a carport for them to load in bad weather. The big thing we found was we explained to you last time, we traded the old senior center. So right now we don't own a senior center. We traded it to Huntington City, and they're just letting us use it until we can get out of it. But the piece of property that they traded us after the engineering work got started on it, we found that it was swampier underneath than what they realized, and so it's going to take some additional gravel and quite a bit of additional work there. It will still be a good facility when we're finished. It's just going to be more expensive to finish it. So we've came back today. Emory County would like to put $350,000 into this. Plus, we would have Emory County's road department provide the gravel, the base that is needed for the building, which we think is somewhere approaching $100,000 more. So Emory County would be putting in an additional $450,000, and we would like to ask the CIB board for an additional $350,000 to help us finish up this building.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Adams.
This project didn't come for all grants. They're a partner on this project. They put money into it. In fact, Lynn, break down exactly what you put into it and what we've okayed to put into it up till today.
The first time we came, we agreed to put in $2 million with with what we were putting in for the property, the building permits, the power connections and everything. So we put in two, and we asked for $1.5 million. This time we're going to put in $450,000, and we're asking you for $350,000.
So I'm just saying, you know, they're not coming and saying we're not invested. They're invested heavily in it. It's a good project. I know a senior citizen, my wife. And
you better look around, make sure she's in her
right. Well, she's in Vernal.
I heard you didn't hear her.
So with that,
you're saying she will be great.
With that, I'm going to make a motion to approve what they've asked for today.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion made by Commissioner Adams, second by Commissioner Miles. Any discussion, comments, questions for the applicant? Seeing none, Ms. Powers, I'll call for a roll call vote, please.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
Motion passes with the chair.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Was it worth the drive?
It was worth the drive. Thank you.
All right. Up next, item 7.3, we have Uinta Fire. Request is for $135,000, $115,000. In grant, $20,000 in loan, 30 years at half a point for the Drydale Fire Station and Community Center. The project was originally funded April 29th of 2022 to the tune of $3,473,000.
received another round of supplemental funding March 2nd of last year, an additional $1.95 million. And so we're here today for additional supplemental funding requests for a whopping $135,000. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you, board members. Appreciate this opportunity. Thank the staff for, Jeremy Raymond, Director of UNA Fire District.
Tyler McKee, the Tri-Nail Point Fire Chief.
And Air Neighbor Defense Engineering.
Thank you.
Appreciate the board and staff allowing us, this happened kind of last minute, so we appreciate the opportunity to be here today and present this project. Thank you very much for the funding that we have received in the past for this project. This fire station community center is magnificent. It is beautiful, and it'll serve the citizens of the western side of Uinta County for many years to come. However, we're approaching the end of this project, we run into a few complications, one of those being the parking lot. We have found out that it is not meeting the specification with the size of our fire trucks and how big and heavy they are, and the sub, the contractors and subs not being able to warranty some of that work. And so the request that you see in front of you today is $120,000 worth of construction costs and then $15,000 worth of legal and bonding fees. And so the total amount is $135,000. We did put in there, I believe it was $19,000 for the loan and then $116,000 from the grant. However, with the difficult financial situation that we're in, we would ask if the board can support just $120,000 grant, and then that'll all go towards that pavement and parking area. And then we wouldn't need to go through all of the rebonding and republicing. So that's the project. And
thank you, Commissioner. So with that idea, for a $20,000 bond, it would cost about $5,000 to fund building the bond or more. And I would concur with their comment is to make it all grant and be money ahead of time.
Second
that
motion.
And 20. So, is that a motion? If you're accepting a motion, I sure am.
Even so. Okay.
Motion made by Commissioner Lytle, seconded by Chairman Zanotti. Comment? Question? No. Comment? Commissioner Miles?
Is this the last supplemental you're going to bring?
I was going to start singing that again. The answer is usually out here, but. You know what? Yes, it is. So this is nearing a completion, and we have made cuts, and there may be some more things coming, but this is the third request of you. So thank you.
Well, at the rate that the amounts requested have gone down, each supplemental, I'm not really too worried about it. At this rate, we'll just be buying you lunch next time.
Well, if you need some more money for the parking lot, just run over next door and ask the transportation question.
Yeah. And then you say ask the church.
Good thing using that for either.
Okay, great. So we have a motion on the floor with a second. Ms. Carrs, I'll call for a roll call vote, please.
So, Mr. Chairman, so we're going for 120?
120.
That's there. That's
all grant.
All grant.
120, all grant.
Okay.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lyman?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Mr. Taylor?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zilnock?
Aye.
That motion carries for the chairman's name. Congratulations. Way to play it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay, up next, special considerations. We have none. Next item, section 9, board member discussion and or action items. 9-1 is the new application list for fiscal year 2025. This is discussion and or action.
Now, what this is, as you can see on the board right there, those are the new applications you received for the fiscal year 25 first trimester for CID. All those applications at the top are ones the board has to review. At the bottom are the small planning grants, which will be reviewed per the board's recommendation by community development officers. The top ones can be discussed in two meetings. So this brings us, as we talk about this, which meetings do you want to have of the three upcoming? The first one would be July 11th. The next one would be August 8th. And the next one would be September 5th.
September.
You want to cancel September?
No, I want to have all of them in September.
We can do that. We can have them.
Don't you mind,
to that same point, you know, we've had these conversations about accumulating the money first and then having a good sense of how much, because sometimes I feel like I'm harder on a project because I think we have no money. And then we get to the funding meeting and it's like, oh, we have money. And I'm like, maybe I wouldn't have been so hard on that project. And so I like pushing them towards the end so we have a better sense of how much money we have to spend.
We could do a day's meeting in September.
Sure.
That seems to be the direction the board would like to go. Not a lot of popularity for meetings in July with holidays and travel and kids out of school. So
NACO. July and August are both really busy months.
Yeah. Commissioner. When is the fair again? And who's playing?
Yeah, that, there's a concert that night, so you won't be able to.
Okay. Dole Whips, though, at the fair?
What?
Dole Whip.
Yep.
I'll be there.
Dole Whip.
So it sounds like a consensus for September meeting. It sounds good.
I think it's Luke Bryan this year.
Hey.
Who's that?
Whoa.
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 Definitely not a Luke Bryan. Too soft for me.
Okay. ACDC.
Let's get Morgan Mullen or something, then I'll get excited. So, are we good to go there then?
Okay.
Okay.
Next meeting will be September 5th. It will probably be on. There will be lunch.
That is getting
plan on the day.
Maybe dinner.
No dinner. You're on your own. Late dinners for you.
Possible dinner. That's
okay.
Everybody's got to check their hunting permit calendar.
So back in Salt Lake, September 5th,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So we're going to have it back in Duchesne?
Yes, Salt Lake.
We just relocated the CIB meetings to Duchesne since the capital wasn't very popular.
Yeah. I thought it was quite
convenient. I'm not sure if I know what you're talking about.
I still think the headquarters of CIB should be Duchesne County. But
we may be laughter today. There's is a consideration.
Yeah.
We still have a building in Daggett County that can
unless you have any more business for this meeting.
I don't believe so. No, so we'll, we don't need a motion to adjourn, but we can, I suppose. Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay. Second it.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion to close the funding meeting, approved unanimously, which.